get ready to get started, I want to welcome those that are listening around the world. Welcome. Thank you for logging on. Tonight is our Wednesday night service, which is questions and answers, and I hope you have brought your questions if we have time to get to them. If not, I have a questions box in the back. You can put your little question right down and put it in that box. But with that being said, we would really encourage those to support the ministry. And we have a PayPal button on our website. If you log on to Glory to the Nations, please feel free to donate through our PayPal and support us as we continue to go on and bring forth the mysteries and ancient secrets and truths of God. Basically, it's all about having a relationship with God, and we're trying to bring that cross to the world. And there are many different doctrines and many different religions, and you know, I call it controlled religion, but how do you basically control the law of God that is written on each and everyone's heart and a relationship? I look at tear down religion and find a relationship. And it's no different than a guy and a girl meeting together and they fall in love. How do you explain? How do you kind of put a definition on it and just kind of identify it? You can't. So one of the questions that has come in, and I think it leans more towards the Christian denomination in the form of worship, and who or what should we worship or give honor and praise to? And there's a lot of confusion out there, which we want to try to correct this confusion. We feel as though that it's not worthy to give others worship and praise as an example of Mary, the mother of Jesus, or even Jesus himself, or the saints, the Apostle Paul, and all those other individuals. And there are many others out there that actually pray to these saints, and I know that that's causing pain to God. It's actually making him have tears. We might not see him, but I know he's not happy. So with that being said, I just want to, before I call up one of our pastors, Pastor Tim Westerside, he's going to share with us tonight about this question and this controversy. But I want to give a testimony earlier today about our prayer cloths, and it's really important about these prayer cloths. And you know, it's all about giving worship to God. But an individual was offered a prayer cloth and he denied it. He jumped back and denied it, and it was very disturbing in a way, because the gentleman that was offering it really felt in his heart to give it to the guy, only to find out 45 minutes later he got shot with over 400,000 volts of electricity and shook him and caused his life to really be unstable. And I look at it as, if he only received the prayer cloth, you know, it would have been protection on his life. So, you know, if anyone offers you a prayer cloth, take it, because you never know what might happen. And hopefully on Sunday, he'll be here to give the testimony. But once again, welcome everyone, and thanks for logging on, those that are around the world, and I'm going to call Pastor Tim up. Amen? Let's give the Lord a hand of praise for Pastor Tim.
Hey, good evening, everybody. We had a question come in off the internet. The question was related to who do we worship? Do we worship Jesus? Do we worship the Father? There's a lot of confusion out there right now in Christianity, where many people are teaching that, you know, we're to raise Jesus higher, we're to lift him up, we're to praise him, worship him. And in reality, God the Father is the one we need to worship. He's the one that created us. He's the one that leads us into salvation. He has the power behind salvation to save our souls, nobody else. And I'm here tonight to discuss and bring some clarification through Scripture about the Father being worshiped. And let me just start out by saying, you know, I'm not here to bash Jesus. I'm not here to denounce him or to belittle what he's done. You know, Jesus is lifted higher than any other man, any other person that walked this earth because of his obedience to the Father's will in his life. And he became Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ, you know, is a spirit, and the Spirit of God lives in each and every person. And we all have Christ in us, which is simply a divine nature of God that was placed inside of us. And inside that divine nature is the commandments that God has written on each and every one of our hearts. And what made Jesus Christ was he followed those commandments. He followed the written word. So we give him an honor. We give him a praise, but we're not to worship him as an entity, as a God. You know, he is the Son of God because he's Jesus Christ, which is he became the divine nature. So I'm going to start out in Revelations. And I'm going to start out with Revelations 19. And in Revelations 19, it talks a little bit about the marriage of the Lamb, but it goes into how there was an encounter with Christ the Spirit in this, and it's actually Jesus speaking to the person. And I'm going to start out with Revelations 1. It says, after these things, and this is, I think he's speaking with John, because John had a revelation of this. He had an encounter. It says, after these things, I heard a loud voice of great multitude in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power belong to the Lord our God. So it starts out by saying it's the Lord our God, okay? If I skip down to 4, it says, and the 24 elders and the 4 living creatures fell down and worshiped God who sat on the throne saying, Amen, Alleluia. So right there, it's specifically saying you're to worship God. And I'm going to get down to where it says worship the Father. Then a voice came from the throne saying, praise our God, all you servants and those who fear him, both small and great. It says, I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude as the sound of many waters and as the sound of mighty thundering saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Now, if you go further on in Revelations 19, it says, and I fell at his feet to worship him. And he's talking about Jesus because he had an encounter with Jesus on this. And it says, but he said to me, see that you do not do that. I am your fellow servant and of your brethren who have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy.
Let me interact. I want to interact with Tim along with this. Because, you know, a lot of confusion out there is, you know, how many people have been brought up to pray to Jesus when they pray? Oh, dear Jesus, you know, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. This is where Tim is bringing clarification because whoever taught us wrong. You know, Jesus was a prophet sent by God, and he was chosen to be used as a lamb. As an example of remission of sin. And hopefully we can clarify this. But why I had to quickly interact, come up and interact with this statement was because some may know what happened to my life. Some may not have known what happened to my life. But it's been over 13 years now that I was taken into a heavenly place and stood before Jesus. And nearly almost the exact same thing happened to me when I came to Jesus. I was brought to Jesus. Now, I didn't bow and worship him, but the words that was spoken to me was, I'm a fellow brother. and that I want you to go down and tell them about my father. And that was basically the last words I've heard audibly. Now, I didn't hear words as if he spoke to me like this the whole time. Just at the very end, when he said, go back and tell them about my father. So I'm very grateful for this message to be spoken today, because of the fact that this confusion is not allowing us to build a relationship with God. It's having us build relationships with prophets and saints, when God is saying, I'm the Father. I'm the one that should be, you know, worshiped. I'm the one you want to pray. You pray to me. It's like this. If you want something done, is it good to go to someone down the line or go straight to the main person? You want to go straight to the main person. Well, we want that relationship straight to God. We don't want that relationship to go to the prophets or the, you know, there's many different verses in the scripture, even when they brought up, what was it, Samuel or Saul?
Saul brought up Samuel.
Saul brought up Samuel, and it was based on like medium. And he even said, what do you want from me? What do you want from me? I could just picture Jesus saying the same thing. What do you want from me? What do you want from me? I was just a lamb that was slain, you know? What do you want from me? It's about having a relationship, and I'm excited about continuing to hear what God is going to speak through Tim.
You know, I'm glad that Pastor was able to elaborate on that, because, you know, Jesus said, I'm the firstborn of many brethren. So we're all brothers and sisters of Jesus, you know, because we're all heirs to the relationship with God through the Christ, you know, through the Christ, the Spirit. And everybody kind of knows who Paul is, right? Paul kind of wrote most of the New Testament, and he had an encounter with Jesus Christ, the Spirit, on the road to Damascus. And that's where he received his relationship with God and the revelation of who God is and who Christ in his heart is. I'm going to flip over, and it's going to talk about Paul and what he says about having a relationship and who he's worshiping. So if I go over to Ephesians, this is Ephesians 3:14. It talks in here about being saved by grace, which is really revelation, knowledge, and it's through faith. So in 14 it says, here it is over here. It says, for this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So he's not bowing down to Jesus, he's bowing down to the Father who created us all. And that's coming from the Apostle Paul. Also, I have another scripture verse that backs this up. It's in, starting in John. It's in John 17. Right before Jesus went onto the cross and went before Pontius Pilate and everything, he had an intercessory prayer. And he was praying to the Father. And it says, in 17 verse 1, it says, Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to the heaven, and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, and that your Son may also glorify you. As you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you. That's important. He says that they may know you. He's talking about the Father. The only true God and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. So he sent the prophetic word, which is Jesus Christ, as it talks about in Revelation. He's the prophecy. He's the prophetic word. I have glorified you on the earth, and I have finished the work which you have given me to do. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. I have manifested your name to the men whom you have given me out of the world, that were yours, you gave them to me, and now they have kept your word. And if you flip over to John, in chapter 20, this is after the resurrection, when the power of the Holy Spirit through God resurrected Jesus, and now he's actually walking the earth, and people are starting to encounter his Spirit. because he's not in the flesh anymore, but he's in a spirit form. It says in chapter 20, verse 17, it says, Jesus said to her, I think he was speaking with Mary, do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. It says, but go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father and to my God and your God. Hello? Are people hearing me tonight? He's talking about the relationship of God the Father, not with him. The Father is his God and he's our God. And that's who we're supposed to worship. And then it says here in chapter 20, verse 27, he said, and he's talking to Thomas because Thomas was doubting. Thomas has a doubting spirit, and Jesus appeared to him in spirit to comfort him and to show him the revelation of who the Spirit is. It says, he said to Thomas, reach your finger here and look at my hands, and reach your hand here and put it in my side, and do not be unbelieving but believing. And Thomas answered and said to him, and a lot of, before I even speak this, a lot of Christians take this as the form of he's speaking to Jesus, the man, on this. He says, my Lord and my God. He's like in shock. And Jesus said to him, Thomas, because you have seen me and you believed, blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. When he says, my Lord and my God, he's not talking about Jesus being his Lord and his God. He's talking about a revelation knowledge, because this is Jesus, the Spirit, appearing before him, and he put his fingers in the holes, and he's seeing him glowing. This is actually how our relationship with the Father is built on revelation knowledge. It's built on an encounter that he had with Jesus, the Spirit. It's not Jesus, the man, because in Christianity, we always associate with these scriptures as being Jesus, the man. But he's talking about Jesus, the Spirit, because he was in a spirit form, even though he hadn't ascended yet. But he was, you could actually see through him. I think in one of the verses it talks where he actually walked through a wall because he was in spirit form. So what we're here tonight to say is this. It says, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name.
That's Son of God.
Son of God. You know, and we always give him honor. He is a son of God, just as all of us are son of God's, daughters of God's. Never separate yourself and put him in a higher place, because it was never intended for that. It says he is the firstborn of many brothers and sisters. We're all from the same tree. We're all from the same faith. And we all have the same Christ. It's the divine nature that's within us that allows us, if we follow the commandments in our heart, to have a relationship with the Father. That was the blueprint. That was why he's the cornerstone of our faith, is because he was the first one to show the way. You know, back in the New Testament, when the apostles, when Jesus left, they were associating with what we were talking about as calling it the way. This is the way to have an encounter and a relationship with the Father. And it was about having Christ in you, the hope of all glory. And that's why we're here tonight speaking about this, because there's a lot of people out there that are confused. And look, when I became born again, when I had my encounter with God, religion came in, and it confused the heck out of me until God started pouring out a revelation to me as far as who he is and who I am. And, you know, it came about maybe in the last, several years, where I finally realized that, you know what, Jesus is our brother. You know, he's a son of God, but he's our brother. And we're not sitting there to have to pray to him. We're there to pray to the Father. And that prayer is a desire that's within your heart, you know, and keeping the hope and desires alive in your heart. And God hears our hearts. He searches to and fro throughout the whole earth looking for that broken, contrite heart. That's how he reads us. That's how he sees us. It's through the heart. You know, so we really need to take a step back and say, okay, you know what? If I've been worshiping Jesus all this time, it's okay. We didn't know. But tonight, there's a revelation here that, hey, you know what? Don't worship Jesus anymore. It's time to start worshiping the Father, because we're all here to be redeemed for one reason. The redemption's back to the Father, to have a relationship with him. And that's why Jesus was here, was as a representation of him, because he always said, if you see me, you see the Father. If you see miracles, signs, and wonders, I might be there actually performing them, but it's God in me, the Father inside of me, that's performing these miracle signs and wonders so that you can see him. You can see the Father manifesting here on earth. It's the same thing in our ministry. When you have Pastor Jim comes up here to minister, it's not him, it's the Father performing the miracles before you. And he's given him the glory so that he can be glorified, just like Jesus was glorified. Same thing with Sam. When Sam gets up here, or myself, or you got Pastor Kurt, you got, you know, don't look at us as anything. It's the Father that's doing it. It's the Father's love. The Father's love for each and every one of us. And that goes for the people that are listening out there. You know, you might be from a Hindu family religion, or you might be from Buddhism, or you might be a Muslim. Look, we're not here to tear down any of that stuff. What we're here to do is just to get you into a relationship with the Father. That's all it is. Because religion has tainted the truth, and it's tainted the message of God. It's tainted the relationship that we're supposed to have with him. And it's our job, it's our duty, it's our calling, and we're chosen to bring that relationship back to individuals again. Because he wants to save people out there, and he needs a voice. And we're a voice. We're one of those voices crying in the wilderness, just like John the Baptist is saying, repent, repent, for the kingdom of God is here, it's now. Well, that kingdom of God is inside of you, and it's Christ, and it's that relationship to have with the Father where you can worship him. You know, Jesus even said to a woman at the well one time, and she was saying, oh, you must be a prophet, you know, because you know a lot of things. And he's like, look, you're not supposed to worship God over here. You're not supposed to worship God on a mountain. You're supposed to worship God here. It's in your heart. That way you can have an individual relationship with God yourself. You know, I can't have an individual relationship with any one of you as far as a relationship with God. It's between you and him. Just like I have an individual relationship myself, and I work out my own salvation every day, because it's my individual relationship that I have to work out, just like you have to. You know, and there's another thing that's out there too. It's called once saved, always saved. Well, that's a heresy, because he would never say work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Work it out. You know, when you got to work something out, if you're on a job and you're working, you're applying what you know. You're actually working at it to make it better. Well, that's what God wants from us. You know, is we need to work out that salvation so that we can have a better understanding and relationship with him. And it comes by faith. And it comes by hearing the word that's within inside of you and applying it and doing it. You know, Jesus even said it's about obedience, not sacrifice. What's the obedience? The obedience is listening to your heart, which is the voice of God, and acting on it. You know, Pastor Jim always says, you know what? Patience is key. Sometimes when you got to sit there and listen to God and you're trying to figure out what the word of God in your heart's saying, you got to take two steps back, because we also have our ears and our mind that are always talking to us. And we sometimes interrupts what our heart's saying. So you got to take a step back and try to calm yourself down so that you can hear your heart and see what your heart's saying. Because how many times do all of us have troubled hearts? You know, we're so many pressures in this world. There's so many pressures in this world that it's hard sometimes to hear that little voice. And it's a still small voice. You know, and Jesus even said in the Spirit in Revelation, if you overcome the world, I'll even grant you a seat right next to me. And that's right next to the Father. But only you can overcome. You have to overcome, and it's by his power. And you need to cry out to God, because God will bring his power and help you overcome. Because you can't do it in your own strength. I've tried to do it so many times, and so many times I fall flat on my face. But you know what? When I change the way I'm thinking, God's there to pick me back up, and it's by his power he resurrects me. There's a resurrection takes place all the time, I believe. You know, because we're changed by his glory from day to day to day to day. There's a glory, there's a changing. Because we're always supposed to be repenting and changing the way we're thinking. Because how many people that have been born here, we're caught into a system. There's a system out there that we were taught from little kids, and it was always, you need to believe this way, you need to act this way, you need to listen to this person and that person. Well, that's not the truth. The real truth is, you need to listen to this. This is the word of God right here. That's his commandments that are written upon our heart. And if we follow that, that makes us righteous in his eyes. That's the true righteousness that even Jesus himself was talking about being righteous. Because if you looked at Jesus' life, a lot of people used to think he was a sinner. But he was without sin because he was righteous in God's eyes. You know why? He followed the commandments of God in his heart. He was obedient. And that's what we're here to do. It doesn't matter what you do in life, how you act. It's all bullcrap. What really matters is following your heart, knowing God and having that relationship so you're confident in faith to know that he is for you and not against you. Amen? So I'm going to call Pastor Jim. I know he wants to speak on it. Maybe even Pastor Sam wants to elaborate too.
Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise for that message that Tim brought forth. You know, one of the things that another question came in, and it was like, well, then back in the day they said, well, pray in my name. You know, cast out devils in my name. You know, when you go, you know, say, in Jesus' name. Well, the reason why that was brought to them, and even today they're trying to instruct you to do that, is because your faith is young. It's growing, and you need to have more faith. And so if you can say, well, I'm going in the spirit of Jesus, and I'm going to say, in Jesus' name, I'm going to bring forth a greater faith. So it's almost like, let's take Sam over there. And Sam wanted to relay something to Pastor Tim. And he would say, listen, Jim said, you know, oh, Jim said? Oh, okay, well then maybe we should consider it, you know? And they'll take it into more consideration. And so they thought that, you know, since Jesus had the relationship with the Father, then they would say, well, you know, if you say in Jesus' name, then, you know, the devils and all will listen. Heaven will listen then. Oh, okay, he said it was in Jesus' name. Well, that's not the case. You know, it was just trying to get their faith in another higher level. It's, you want to cast devils out, cast them out. You have a relationship with God, just cast them out. Say, devil, come out. You want to cross down those thoughts in your head? You want to relieve yourself from addictions and you know, you have issues, personal issues? Look, we all have personal issues, amen? Let's be real. You want to get rid of those issues? Cast them out. Take the authority. Begin to declare who you are. And this is where God wants to bring us today. He's like, listen, I have poured out my spirit on all flesh, and I want you to have that relationship with me. I've given you my spirit, and I've given you my authority. Take control. It's no different than controlling yourself. I said this about a couple of weeks ago in a message. I can go kick a hole right in that wall right now if I wanted to. I can grab somebody and punch them right in the face if I wanted to. I can really blast off some foul language if I really wanted to. You get me mad enough, man, I could be a real sloppy person. But what did I do? I took control, right? I took control. It's just like everything else. You take that authority, you take that control, and you bring yourself into submission. We can all do it. If you want something bad enough, what do? You go for it, right? Some of us tend to quit. Well, what do? Brush ourselves off, pick ourselves back up, and we go for it. I hope that we don't quit. I hope we don't give up. I want to see great things. My prayer is to have the glory of God be poured out on everyone. And, you know, and he's doing it. Especially after I made a commitment to go full time. I said, Lord, I want everyone that hears these words, bless them in unspeakable blessings. I want them to be so blessed that they start becoming a testimony to you. So that they would say, listen, I heard your word. I applied it, and look at what's happening in my own life. And that's what I want to see. You know, I'm tired of seeing people sick. I'm tired of seeing people struggle.
I'm tired of the worry and the fear and the anxiety. I'm tired of the divisions. I'm tired of the confusion. You know, we don't have to have any confusion. We don't have to be like this. You know, we need to come into a place called rest, where our hearts are stable. Because I started speaking a message about why we're here, and I think it was even last Wednesday, why are we here? And that was one of the questions that came in. And, you know, we have a price to pay, even though our price was already paid for. And it's really to just honor God and give Him back His glory. There's a part where we retain glory, and He gives us that opportunity. Everybody has a form of glory in them. Then there's a point where we get lost, we get dry, we get thirsty, and we dry up and we need more glory. We live on glory. We live on glory. And I hope and pray that you will be learn the identification or the definition of glory, because we live on glory. Glory is like our energy or food, you know. Everybody wants it. Everybody needs it. And it comes through attention. It comes through recognition. It comes through success, whether it's for yourself or recognized by others. The whole world feeds off of glory. How many people understand this one? Okay. And so then there's a point where we have to understand to live our life to give back that glory and give it back to God. And this is where you start to enter eternal life. This is when you really get a life, when you begin to give back. When you learn to start, no longer is it you that lives, but really it's He that lives inside of you that you give back. You give back. It's better to give than to receive. Has anyone ever understood that one? You know? And so when we grow up, wake up, we begin to understand it's not about us. Well, with religion, it's not about the prophets. It's not about the mother of Jesus. It's not about the apostles and the saints. It's not even about us. It's all about God and His glory. And I'm very grateful for the question that came in. And I'm very grateful for Tim to be able to answer that question tonight. Those that have been caught up in traditions of religion and have put themselves in a place of believing that Jesus was the one that forgave your sins and you got to go to confession, I hope today you begin to realize that you don't have to do that anymore. You just need to come to a place of just changing the way you're thinking. You know, yesterday's gone. So whatever you did yesterday to say sorry about it doesn't really mean anything. In the eyes of God, He looks at today. He looks at the moment right now. And then He looks at tomorrow. What are you going to do? He doesn't look at yesterday. You can't resurrect yesterday. And I want you to really sincerely understand this. Don't hold this guilt and this shame on yourselves. If I looked at yesterday, man, I wouldn't be able to speak like this today. I couldn't stand in front of you and declare the love of God and prophesy and speak into people's lives and all this other stuff if I didn't understand this revelation. Yesterday's dead. You can't do anything about it. Even if you're remembering the glory days. I had a friend who I loved real deeply. He was a great guy, and he could have been a contender, I call it. But the dude never left 12th grade. He was like stuck in high school, and you know, he's still trying to contact people from high school and everything else. And I'm like, listen, dude, those days are over. You're like hitting 55 years old, and you gotta let it go. We gotta let go yesterday. Even the things that we've done yesterday. I know I did some real bad things. Some things I regret. I even went back to try to patch them up. And I realized, you know what? It wasn't me. It was them to begin with. So I had to come to a point where I was trying to patch something up that they were able to put guilt on me. And I felt really bad. And here I found out it wasn't even me. They were sick to begin with, wackos. And these wackos were close to me too. But I got to learn to let it go. I got to learn to look at tomorrow. I got to look at the fact that, you know, there is a God, and He did create me, and He created you, and that there's a purpose tomorrow. There's a purpose today, and not to miss these opportunities. I don't want to have to live the rest of my life thinking that I missed something. I want to live all out. You know, there's a statement that I heard that a foolish guy, you know, lives today and doesn't worry about tomorrow kind of thing, you know. Live your life as if it's your last. That's foolish. No, it isn't. I mean, I want to party every day. I want to eat good. I want to drink good. You know, unfortunately, I drank just my iced teas and waters and stuff. But I want to eat. I want to drink. I want to just party. I want to laugh. I want to have a good time. I don't want to have to do anything I don't want to do. You know, don't force me into doing anything. That's not me. You'll ask me, please don't make me feel guilty because I might say no. But I want to feel good saying no. I don't want to feel bad saying no. How many people understand what I'm talking about? Amen. This is a life. You see? I had some individuals come up to me, and you know, it's sad to say this if you're a pastor, but they said, you know, I want to go to the bars and I want to drink, and I want to, and I said, you know, you would think that the pastor would say, oh, you know, alcohol's bad for you, you better not drink, you better listen. You know what I did? I said, well, if you want to go, go. Get drunk, please, and have one for me. They listened. They went to the bar. They got drunk. Oh, and they got drunk. And they ended up barfing their guts out and everything else, and then they realized, this is not for me. They got it out of their system. I think it's when you tell somebody you can't do something is when they really get into an issue where they just overindulge. How many people understand what I'm talking about? Listen, do what you want to do. That's the beauty about this doctrine right here that I'm speaking. Having a relationship with God is the most important thing, and He loves you just the way you are. And He wants you to live your life the way you want to live it. Because to be honest with you, it's His life in you to begin with. And there's more likely there's a testimony behind those things that you think are bad. For example, I'm sure that person that I said, go drink at the bar, now has a testimony that she can share and say, you know what? I wanted to go to the bar and I found out, oh my God, I really didn't want to go because it wasn't good for me. I couldn't handle it or whatever it might be. But the bottom line is, whatever you're into and whatever you're doing, I don't condemn it. I look at it as when you're done, it's going to be a testimony. It's going to be a testimony for God's glory. And this is really what the life He wants us to live. My past, I don't regret it. Even though that others would look at it and say, man, that was sloppy. You were bad. That was wrong. You're no good. Blah, blah, blah. Whatever they want to lay out. But I look back and I say, you know what? I'm a testimony now because I have a relationship with God. And I thank God because I'm free. I'm free, and I don't hold all these things against me. You can, but I don't. And it's today that I live. And tomorrow I'm going to even live better. You see? I'm going to live better. And I just know that if you begin to change your heart this way and not bound yourself by traditions of religion and, you know, go to confession and, you know, have to, I understand that there's like, you got to visit priests and stuff and say, I'm sorry and all that other stuff. And they actually require you to do it, I heard. I got a woman over here, Mary Lou, she tells me all about the Catholic religion and all. And I'm like, wow, I can't even believe this. They put you in more bondage than anything. But, you know, there's no need to say you're sorry. No more. God knows your heart. And if you're tired of it and you don't want to do it anymore and you want to be set free from it, all you got to do is just say, God, help me here. I'm done. I'm ready to move on. and he'll take it right out of you. Poof, just like that. He'll just cleanse you right out. There was times where I even found my own life being tempted. Now, God has a call on my life, but don't think that temptation doesn't stop, okay? And I caught myself with temptation knocking at my door. And I was like, oh, man, you know, I really don't want this. And here he turned it around and blew it up and made the temptation run. Run from me. I didn't even have to leave it. The temptation left me. That's the real cool thing. And I'm very grateful. It's like this. If I had to put an example, let's say I wanted, and this ain't what it was, but let's just say it was. Let's say I had an urge to do some dope or something. And I'm ready to see some temptation to do some dope, right? And then all of a sudden, my dealer gets busted. Okay, it was kind of like that in a way of saying it. But it had nothing to do with dope. It had nothing to do with anything like that. But to give you an example, it was like that. Temptation didn't leave me. Or I didn't have to leave the temptation, so to say. The temptation got blown up and left. And then I just looked at it and said, very interesting. It's time to move on. And then the urges left. It just completely, whew, no more desire to fall into temptation. And so I just think it's pretty awesome that God is real and he knows your heart. And if you're sincere, he'll work it out, and he'll get things through. I'm going to pass it on to Sam if he has anything. He's here tonight. You want to share with the world that is crying out, wanting to know truth? You know, before I hand the mic over to Sam, you know, look at us, man. We're regular dudes that have a love and a passion for God. I mean, and our God is not a pansy God. You got to be a bad dude to have a relationship with our God. I mean, it's not easy, is it? Because our God is based on truth. You see, and let's just say we don't have a God, but we got truth. And do you know that, like, so many people out there are so deceived, they're goofy. They'll say that wall there is red, and you know the truth. And you're like saying, no, it ain't. It's like tan. and they're like swearing up and down. And it's so frustrating because you know the truth. And you have to stand in the truth. Well, that's what I'm saying, why it's tough to know our God. Because he has put truth in us. And it's very hard to stand in truth when the whole world is over there telling you something different. And you're over here saying, nah. Because I know the truth. And it rips your heart out. But we stand. And it's interesting because he has the relationship with God. I have the relationship with God. We both bared witness of the Spirit, let's put it that way. And it wasn't like I had to brainwash Sam, and Sam didn't have to brainwash me to think this way. It was given to him. It's in him. And it was given to me, and it's in me. And he lives his life with God, and I live my life with God. And we know the truth. And to know this relationship is very hard. It's very hard. You'll have people hate you for no reason at all. And you'll be like, why you hate me? I didn't do anything wrong to you. And they'll hate you. It goes on and on and on. But I know that the world out there is logging on, and they're fascinated. Thousands and thousands of people are now logging on because they're fascinated with this message. They're fascinated to see crazy guys like us talking about the love of God, talking about it's not religion, it's all about relationship, and they're dying to want to know more because there's a peace and a happiness that you get that is you can't speak about. I don't care about nothing. You know what I'm saying? I don't care what people think. I don't care what they say. I can lift my head up. My heart's filled. I'm happy. I have no depression. I don't need of anything. How many people understand what I'm talking about? That's a life. That's a life. When you can just look at somebody and say, you're nuts, not me. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear what you got to say. Because I know who I am. That takes away all confusion. And you know who the author of confusion is? Satan. Darkness. The father of lies. He's the author of confusion. And when you know who you are, and you know what you need to do, and you know where you're going, and you don't care about anything else, and all confusion is gone, guess what? You're saved.
Amen.
Amen.
Give the Lord a hand. Praise your
time. It's a good question that was proposed tonight. It's one that we often get. It's one that that's the fight we always get. You know, I had a Catholic priest, and I was talking to him about Jesus, and I was trying to explain, you know, what he wanted. And this Catholic priest said, but he said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by me. And I said, that's right. I said, listen to what he's saying. I'm the way, the truth. So he's a door. So if he's a door, what's the purpose of a door? To lead you somewhere, right? He said, no one comes to the Father but by me. So what was his whole goal? To bring you to the door, or have the door lead you to the Father? So if you walk to the door, and I'm at the door, and I'm here, and Jesus is the door, do I stay here and worship the door? No. I push it open, and I go forward to God. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And no one can come to the Father but by me. So that's our job. Our job is to bring people to the Father. Yes, Jesus was the Christ because he had a law written on his heart, and he followed that law. That's why he was the Christ. He was the first one that was actually able to follow the law that God wrote on his heart. See, Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane. Listen to this story. He was in the garden, and he had gotten his plan from God. God said, listen, I want you to go and die for the sins of the world. And Jesus said, you know what, Father? I hear what you're saying. But nevertheless, if it be your will, let this cup pass from before me. Because I don't want what your will is. See, your will, here's your cup. You're saying to me, drink from this cup, and I'm going to have to die for the sins of the world. This is what he's saying. And Jesus said, listen, if it be your will, Father, I don't want to have to go die for the sins of the world. I don't want to have to go. So if you have another plan, I'm all for it. But Jesus then said this, but not my will, your will be done. Two wills, Jesus' will and God's will. He didn't say, we are one, Father, my will is your will, oh, hallelujah, let's go die. He said, no, I don't want this plan. This plan doesn't look good to me. So if you have another plan, Father, please, I don't want to do this. But nevertheless, not my will, your will be done. And that's the lesson for all of us. See, we all have a law written on our heart, or a life that God wrote on every one of your hearts. And the miracle is, listen to me now, you are on that path. You're already on it. You just don't know it. You are exactly where he wants you to be right now. Everything that's happened to you was supposed to happen to you exactly the way it happened to you. It could have been any different because you wouldn't be here if it was. His whole goal is to give you salvation, to give you a life, to give you peace, because he loves you, an eternal salvation. What made Jesus sinless? He followed the law on his heart. He said, not my will, but your will be done. That's what made him sinless. That's what makes you sinless. When you follow the law in your heart, when despite everything else in front of you, even though your flesh is crumbling against everything that's happening in your life, you have to say, I'm in God's will because he loves me. See, let me tell you a little story. My brother Philip had a job. He hated the job. Hated it. Complained, murmured all the time. I said, listen to me. until you stop complaining, until you stop bitching and moaning about this job, and thank God, and show him that you're grateful, your life's never going to change. See, we're all on the path of God. But if we're stuck in that place of not liking what's happening and complaining and murmuring and complaining and murmuring and complaining and murmuring, are we going past the desert? No. You're never going to make the promised land. Because when you're in the desert, it's dry, it's tough. And all we do is murmur and complain because we're not getting what we think we should have. And meanwhile, what God's doing is building a character in the desert. He's saying, if you worship me here, you're definitely going to worship me there. If you can worship me in tough times, if you can worship me in little, then you'll worship me in much. If you can't worship me in little, I can't trust you with much. I don't want to lose you. I don't want to lose you. So if you have what you think you want, you're going to say bye-bye to me because you got what you want. But see, I want you to want me. I want you to want me and the peace that I have to give you and the joy that I have to give you and the life that I have for you. That you're already living, you just don't know it. You are on the path of God. And what happened to you had to happen to you to bring you to this place of saying, God, look, I am a mess, but I'm your mess. And this life that you're giving me, hey, I'm okay. I'm still breathing. I'm still eating. I still have money in my pocket. I'm okay. I'm not laying on the floor dead. I'm still living. There's still hope. And when there's hope, God is in the middle of it. This is what God's trying to say tonight. He's trying to say, listen, my son was sent for one reason, and you're his son and you're his daughters, to bring people to me. Not to bring them to the door and stop and worship the door, but walk through the door and come to where Jesus was saying, hey, look, no one comes to the Father but by me. So my whole goal is to bring you to the Father, not stop at me, not stop where I'm at. I have my life. What are you bothering me for? Like Samuel, why are you bothering my slumber? I was sleeping, man. What'd you wake me up for, Saul? I was in heavenly places sleeping. You drag me down back to this pit and wake me up. What's your problem? That's what Jesus is saying too. What are you calling me out for? Go to my Father. He'll answer your prayers. He'll bless you. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. The same exact Spirit. And listen to this. All the fullness of the Godhead, the whole entire universe of God, dwells inside of you. If you only knew the power that was inside of you, if you only knew the power of God and the love that was inside of you, you would just be undone all the time. Because all you got to do is say, yes, Father. Not my will. Your will be done. I'm going to step back and rest and watch you unfold my life. I'm going to stop pushing and stop murmuring and stop complaining for what I don't have. Stop bitching and stop moaning about my life. And I'm going to accept it and start thanking you and watch God move. Once you have a little bit of gratefulness in your life, God will open every door. But see, we forget. We start taking things personal. We blame everybody and everything for our problems, especially ourselves. And you're done. You can't go forward. You can't blame anybody. You're where you're supposed to be because you're there. You're where you're supposed to be. Exactly. Nothing was a mistake. Nothing was done by accident. It was all orchestrated by a perfect God who wrote this law in your heart. He wrote this law like, yes, he did write that law. But look, it gets better. It gets so much better. As soon as we surrender to whatever's happening, accept what's happening in our lives, you'll receive another level and another level and another level and another level and another level of peace and joy until you're saying, look, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father but by me. When you see me, you see the Father. We all should be thinking the same way. Be that light. Be Christ to this world. They're all crying out. They want to see the Father. They don't want to see you. They want to see his love, his peace, his joy. And we're all on that path already. We are all on that path. Trust me. There are no mistakes in life. There are none. God's in control. Amen.
Amen. Let's give another hand of praise for Pastor Sam. You know, I'm going to end this to those that are listening in here. Look, if we were praying to Jesus, casting out devils in Jesus' name, saying all these things, you know, believing that Jesus, you know, took away your sins, I'm not condemning that at all in the sense of saying that that's what you liked, because, you know, let's refer to like vanilla ice cream. And that was vanilla ice cream. And I got another flavor of ice cream. It's much better. I want to offer this better flavor of ice cream. Something that's going to be much better in your relationship. And to know who you are so that you can take that boldness and that greatness and that confidence in Him, you'll understand when you do it. You might not understand it now, those that are in that old pattern of thinking, because I think most of us were there at one time, either if it was Mary saying prayers to Mary and, you know, say 10 Our Fathers for your sins to be forgiven and all that other stuff. When you're already forgiven, so save your breath. You don't have to say 10 Hail Marys and 5 Our Fathers. You know, you're already forgiven. First of all, I never could understand that. Why 10? How about 11? Because it was really bad. Or it wasn't as bad as what you're saying. How about 9? Why do I have to say 10? So, you know, even when you logically look at it, it's kind of bizarre. So, I'm just saying that when you grab this truth and apply it in your heart and know that you're already forgiven, you don't have to condemn yourself and then do some labor to set your sins free. All you have to do is just change the way you're thinking and move on. And to develop that boldness in your heart to know who you are, so you don't have to like have a mediator to go to, you know, or a second person in heaven to go to get to God. You can go straight to God to say, hey, God, I got a relationship with Him. I know my Father, and my Father knows me, and it's a great relationship, and He tells me all things. I can share what goes on a daily basis, and those that know me real close can be a testimony of it. Yes, Jim walks with God all day, every day, day in, day out. I don't care what day of the week it is, what day or whatever it is, I'm with Him. And I'm, in my own life, I have a very good confidence to know that He's going to take care of all my needs. He's going to take care of all my enemies. He's going to open up doors where no man can open up. He's going to ordain my footsteps, and tomorrow I'll be exactly where I need to be. And I know that He won't shut my mouth, because my mouth is going to testify some glory of God somewhere, somehow. And they might not hear it, and they might get mad at me, but I don't care, because I'm happy. You know, they're not going to save me. You see? I'm not going to fear them. I have no fear of man whatsoever. I look at them and I laugh at them. I fear God. That's who I fear. So I want to offer those a better flavor of ice cream. This ice cream's real sweet, real good, and I'll tell you what, it gives you energy like you wouldn't believe. I can wake up every morning with a skip and a song. You see, I'm not struggling trying to get out of bed. I'm not groaning and moaning about what I have to do. I'm not complaining about my bills. I'm probably laughing at them more now than I ever did, because I'm like, well, we'll see. We'll see what happens. You know? It's crazy. When I had money to pay them, I used to, well, how am I going to pay that? Now when I don't have any money, I'm laughing, saying, this will be paid. Don't worry. You'll get your money. Things have changed because of the relationship I have. And there's a boldness inside of me to know that tomorrow is going to be okay. And that's what I hope happens in your life, those that are here and those that are listening. And it has everything to do with having a relationship with God. Now, some of us may not know how to start having a relationship with God. Well, how do I start having a relationship? I can't even see the guy. How am I supposed to have one? It's a thing called faith. You got to create them. I shared back many messages ago. I don't know what it is. Go back in the archives and listen to them. But it says there is no God. He doesn't exist until you create him. You got to create him in your heart. He does exist. I know for a fact he does exist. But he doesn't exist in the average person until you create him. And I want to show you how to create him. His goodness, his righteousness. His righteousness is not your works. His righteousness is on your heart. And when you connect to that, listen, I sound cocky. I sound like a rebellious dude. I don't want to listen to you, and I'm going to do my own thing. Doesn't that sound rebellious? Doesn't that sound a little cocky? But that's in him. That's in God. You see? I have a love for God so much that I don't even want to listen to you. And here's an example of Jesus and Peter in the Bible. Jesus had to go, according to his heart, to Bethlehem or something. I don't know, some land. What was it, Jerusalem? Okay. And if he went to Jerusalem, Peter and the other apostles knew that he was going to get his ass whooped. Okay? He was going to get beat up. And Peter over here is like, Jesus, don't go, man. You're going to get, you know, beat up if you go. And Jesus turned around and looked at him and went, dude, don't tell me what to do. I'm going to paraphrase it. He says, get away from me, Satan. You don't have the mind of God. Now, if I would say, back then, I'd say, man, he's a cocky, arrogant guy. You know, his friend just tried to save him. You might want to listen to the dude. You know what I mean? But what was he listening? In his heart. He said, no, you don't understand. I got to go. You don't have the mind of God. You don't have the mind of God. Meaning you don't understand what my heart is saying. You don't know what it's saying here. And I hope those out there are hearing me, because you have big influences on your friends, your neighbors, your children, everybody. And you're like throwing your opinions and you're pushing your ways on individuals when they're crying out saying, but my heart is saying something else. And they don't have the relationship with God to stand strong enough. And I'm hoping and praying that I can build that relationship with God in you so that you can be bold enough to say, I know my heart. Get away from me. And live your life. Because I know that when Jesus did go, there was a great blessing there. He would have missed out. You see what I'm saying? I want you to follow your heart, because God has a blessing for you. There's something greater there for you. Wherever he leads you, the path of righteousness, I call it. And it's not our righteousness. It's his. And that's why Jesus said, if you see me, you see the Father. Because he was walking the law on his heart. He had that relationship. He walked that law. And that was what made him the Son of God. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. Amen. We're going to continue next week with Wednesday's messages and questions and answers. So if you have any questions and answers, Wednesday night is the night to clarify all this. This message has to get out around the world. It is getting out around the world, but it's new. That's the crazy thing. When Jesus was bringing the message back 2,000 years ago, they even said, what's this foreign message, this foreign teaching that he has? And he says, it's not new. It's been around since the foundations of the world. But you created a tradition of man, and it goes against the traditions of men. And this message is is pure and holy and righteous and divine, and it goes against the traditions of men. Men, traditions, control and try to dictate and conform you to what they want and they think is right. But God wants us to live free. He wants us to live the life that He gave us. And I hope and pray that you find that life. Amen. Amen.